is like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paw.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paw. It is 9 December 2019. Welcome to tonight's program. We're going to bring up, hopefully, a very special guest. I'll tell you about who it is in a minute. I mean a very special guest. Haven't had one for years. It's been so long since I had him on, actually. He forgot who I was, which is no big deal. But I hope we can find him. He's supposed to be with us tonight, so I'll tell you about that in a minute. Before I do that, though, don't forget we're here tonight on shortwave on 6115 because of Melody Cederstrom. Melody Cederstrom, with Discount Gold and Silver, is generous enough to sponsor us on shortwave for 3 hours a week. And folks, if you're listening on shortwave tonight at the live broadcast, it's because of Melody. And if you plan on anything for the future, and if you missed your program today, I shared some figures with her today that I might share that during this broadcast with our guests, hopefully, on finances that you need to pay attention to. But call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Now, I want to welcome some new stations that will be joining us tonight and tomorrow. They'll be rebroadcast, but I want to welcome tonight two stations at KWDF in Alexander Lafayette, Lake Charles, Louisiana, 840 AM and 99.7 FM. They'll be broadcasting tomorrow, this broadcast tonight, between 3 and 4 Central. So KWDF AM 840, 99.7. Welcome to the family. I'm glad you're with us. And WCPC in Tupelo, Mississippi, 9:40 a.m. and 105.7 FM. We'll be broadcasting this broadcast program tomorrow between 2 and 3 Central Time, from 2 to 3. Again, welcome, folks. Thank you for being with us on WCPC, 9:40 a.m. and 105.7 FM in Tupelo, Mississippi. There'll be tomorrow starting with the broadcast. And also, starting tonight, in KGMS 9:40 a.m. in Tucson, Arizona. We'll be rebroadcasting this program 8 to 9 local time, which will be 11 to 10, 11 to 12 our time, East Coast. But KGMS, 9:40 a.m., Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to the lineup. I hope you still enjoy the broadcast. I really do. If you ever listen live to the program, so all those listening on the new stations, you can listen live if you go to GS Radio. That's Global Star Radio, gsradio.net. Click on where it says listen online. Go to Star 5, click on pop-ups at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, pop-up player, and I'll be right there. You can listen on the phone also at 712-770-9418. 712-770-9418 to listen live for the broadcast. If you want to listen, catch it live, and see the rebroadcast on your stations. But I'm proud to welcome tonight, like I said, KWDF, WCPC and KGMS, welcome to the lineup tonight. And I do mean that. I sincerely do. I hope that with this program will be a blessing to you. I really mean that. I hope we can do something that will encourage you to keep going along this battle and open your eyes to some truth. I pray that's true. And we're still offering the book that I got a good buy on from a fellow that wrote a very powerful book entitled The Grand Design Exposed. He passed away a year or so ago. I was able to get my hands on about 5 cases of his books. Now, folks, The Grand Design Exposed is a book that's going to shake your world. It is. It shook mine, and I think I'm a little bit ahead of some people. Some things I've learned about this country and how it was formed. The Grand Design Exposed is a book that you'll read it. You'll learn a lot. Everything in it you may not agree with. I don't. But that's okay. The evidence of what they're telling us in history is real, and that's easily proven. 1295 will get that book delivered to your door. You can call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 between 9 and 4 Eastern, or with a credit card, or get our address and write to us. Just ask Lisa for our address. Now, folks, I'm encouraging you to get this book. No, I'm not trying to make a fortune off this book. For $12.95, I'm not. The regular price is $22.95. I just got a decent deal on them. I've got to pay the bills here, obviously. But this book, The Grand Design Exposed, will give you an education on how America was formed in the 1700s, why it was formed, and what its destiny really was. Again, you can call it at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And you can order the book with a credit card, debit card, or get an address and write to us. Now, I'm offering everything I can to help you understand some things, folks. Not because I'm such a smart guy. I'm not. But I do care. And don't forget, we're offering a free case of food again this month. We give once a month, give away a free case of food. No strings attached from New Manos Strobel Foods. It is the absolute best Strobel food you can buy anywhere. All right, it's free, the case free. And a Berkey water filter. The big Berkey water filter is what we offer to give away here, folks. And we sell them through this ministry at a good price. We do. We truly do. But the Berkey water filter, by test, not by my opinion, has proven to be the top of the line, period, gravity fed water filter, bar none. They're used all over the world. We give away one of those a month away free if you'll write to us here at the ministry and say, I need a water filter. And this is why. We'll put you in our file. Believe me, folks, we give away dozens of them over the months. That along with some food, if you need the food. You just tell us why you need them. We never put on the air who you are. We just mention a state where you're from, where you sent it to. We never put on the air, again, who you are. It's nobody's business why you need it. But we go through here in the office. The girls do, basically. And I look at it, and we almost always approve it to help you if you need pure water to drink, and everybody does, or if you're in a hard spot and need some food. We want to be here for you to try to help us as best we know how, and that's the truth. I mean that. And I haven't heard anything about our guest coming on, and I hope he didn't forget. I just talked to him a couple hours ago. We're going to have one tonight, G. Edward Griffin. What a powerful, powerful writer, speaker. He wrote a book years ago entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island about the Federal Reserve and what it has done to this country. And I just told Batard that they're still trying to get a hold of him. I'm really shocked he's not there. Truly am. But it is what it is. Sometimes things happen. You never know. But we'll go by. I guess we'll be okay. But he wrote a book entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island. A book that when I read it, I was still new in the game, so to speak. I was just flabbergasted. I was just absolutely amazed at how we have been deceived for so long and so easily into where we are today. Now, being a pastor, folks, and being a preacher and somewhat of a Bible scholar, I understand a lot, I think, about a nation and the people and what causes things to fall apart. Of course, the biggest, the only reason, this, the bottom reason for all things to dissipate and break up is forgetting God, forgetting His laws and commandments, forgetting His moral codes. That's what causes a nation to break up in every way possible, folks. Every way. Whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, it makes no difference. Without the essence of Christ in society, in His Word. That doesn't mean everybody in the society is a Christian, not by any means at all. It just means that society is based upon Christian principles, and law, righteous law enforcement, enforces the moral codes of the laws of God for the benefit of all men. Murder, rape, incest, pornography, molestation of children, that would be called pedophilia, homosexuality, all these things were immoral, ungodly, and outlawed in this nation for a while. Now, obviously, it's not true today. And the nation is literally falling apart and on every level. Morally, absolutely, unbelievably falling apart. I mean, really falling apart. And I'm absolutely amazed at this. And Todd, I have a number I'm going to text to you. I just got a call from, I think it's our guest. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to text to you here in just a second, all right? Folks, forgive me for doing this like this. I'm sorry about this, but sometimes things happen. And I'm trying my best to get this guest on because I want you to be sure and hear what he has to say. Okay, hang on 1 second, please. Bear with me a minute, please. I'm so sorry. This is so unprofessional. I know that. And for the news stations tuned in, I'm at the thinking, man, this guy's bad. But it is what it is. I'm doing the best I can to make sure this thing comes through okay. Okay. Please bear with me, folks. I really am hurrying as fast as I can. I promise. Okay, let's see here. Okay, there it went. All right, we'll try that number. But anyway, as I was saying, the nation is crumbling around their ears. You can see that. I mean, total chaos and mass murders and shootings every day. And everybody wants to blame the guns and blame conservatives and blame this and blame that. It isn't the truth. That isn't the problem. The problem is the hearts and souls of men have turned from God. And it's simply because the nations allowed this to happen. The church has allowed it to happen. The church has fallen away to the point that they no longer know what true godliness is as a whole. Not all of them, but as a whole. A lot of them have no idea what true godliness really is. Okay, we do have a guest up now, finally, and I'm so glad we found this guest. This gentleman has been, I've read his works, I read his articles, and I'm so proud to have him on the program. It's been a long time. Like I said, he forgot who I was. That's okay. I didn't forget him. We're going to talk to G. Edward Griffin. G. Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It is so good to have you tonight, sir, and I'm sorry we're late connecting. We tried to call the only numbers I had, and I must have had the wrong number, so thanks for calling me. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, I thought something had gone wrong. But anyway, I'm glad we made the connection.
Well, me too. And I went to, that's my first mistake this year.
Yes.
Todd, give me a little more volume if you don't mind. I can barely hear him. A little more volume. Now, G. Edward Griffin, I want you to please make yourself the home lad. You've been at this a long time. You are, in my mind, one of the leading experts definitely on what's happened to our country financially, and I'm sure morally also. I was just talking to folks about this country and what's happened to it because we've forgotten God and his morals, and our nation's going to hell in a handbasket, is it not?
Well, I think that's probably an understatement, but yes, I certainly would agree with it. Yeah,
you know,
we've got some
nothing,
real problems.
Nothing can hold together. We do. Nothing can hold together without God's essence being in it. It's impossible. Families can't hold together. Society, I mean, towns can't hold together, and the country sure can't hold together. We become an immoral, confused, angry nation, and it's getting worse every day, isn't it?
Well, yes. The reason I'm hesitating a little bit is because I've been thinking about the use of the word we, because lately I've heard a lot of people talking about this nation needs to be punished. This nation needs to suffer because it's so evil. And I have trouble with that because I don't think this nation is evil. I think there are a lot of evil people in high places, but I think most of the people in America are good people. I don't think they deserve to be punished. I don't think that at all. I think that our job is to put the country back in the hands of the good people, which far outnumber the bad people, the evil people. And I don't think we should be saying our nation has become godless. Yes, many people have. But I look at the people I meet every day, and of course I travel in a rare group, I suppose, but even when I get into the parts of the city and the parts of the country that I'm not familiar with, I find good people everywhere. So that's the reason I hesitated there. You know what I'm trying to say? I think I hesitate to lump everybody together. Yeah, that's all.
Well,
other than that, I certainly agree with you.
You know, I do too, and I know there's good people there. I'm blessed to know several of them, but the sad part of it is, a nation is a nation that does not keep its leaders in line is judged by God eventually because the good people have done nothing. Edmund Burke said it. You know, all it takes for bad people to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And unless the good people speak up, nothing really changes except it gets worse. So that's why I say that the nation as a whole, because apathy will destroy you just as much as outright evil. And that's just the way it is. But your writings are so right on. And I just talked about the book you wrote. How many years ago since you wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island? How long has that been?
Well, Oh, that's been 25 years ago. Yeah, first edition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming up.
When I read that book.
Yeah. It'll be 25 years tomorrow. I mean, next year, not tomorrow, but next year, almost tomorrow.
Wow. When I read that book, I was still kind of a newbie. I've been on radio about going on 27 years. And I was still kind of a newbie in the idea. And I read the book, and I thought, wow, that answers a lot of questions. It does.
I was amazed. The economic system, our money system is at the base of almost everything we do. Every transaction between human beings has, not everyone, but almost everyone has some kind of an economic value or economic basis. And that economic value is always expressed in terms of whatever currency or money that the system is using. So if these evil people we're talking about happen to control the currency, the money system, why, they have their evil hands in the middle of every transaction that we do, even though we are good people. We wind up supporting evil purposes. I mean, we're all honest, law-abiding citizens. We pay our taxes like we're supposed to do, but our taxes go to support evil things. So are we evil because we paid our taxes? You know, that's the kind of a dilemma we're in right now.
Well, you know what? Something started out, we'll say, with such a small group of people, has spread across this nation like cancer. And it's amazing how they've taken control, G. Edward, of about everything in their lives. And not just in this nation. They've influenced the world with this power they've had with the money press, so to speak, and what they've done. And they've turned America into an empire to try to conquer the world. And that's what we become.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and I know, course, you see that probably better than I do.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I see it better than anybody else, but I've been studying it for a long time. And I've spent a lot of time reading the works of these people who we consider to be our opponents, the ones who are trying to take our liberty from us, the people who want to take all the principles away from us and turn us into basically just soulless animals, or even worse, as robots. They're trying to... Transhumanism is now the thing.
Yes.
The future will be sort of a mixture of human genes and artificial engineered genes, and who knows what will come out of that. It certainly won't be Homo sapiens anymore. We won't be human anymore. Our descendants will be half human and half engineered into something that nature has never seen or intended. God only knows what that future is going to hold. And nobody seems to be concerned about it. It's just, oh, well, that's the way it is, you know.
That's the point.
And, yeah. But no, I think when I just found myself doing the very thing I was commenting on earlier. I said, everyone. Well, that's not true, not everyone. The reality is, as I see it anyway, is that the number of people who are actually making this terrible shift away from humanity is very small. But by golly, are they in important positions of power and authority in our lives. They have over a couple of centuries now worked endlessly and brilliantly to make sure that their little group of people, less than 1% of the population, probably about 1/10 or 1/50 of 1% of the population, have decided that they, in order to control and master all the rest of the people in the world, they have to be in positions of authority and power. And so they have consciously and deliberately gone after the control centers of the media, of the educational system, of the government, of everything, the information sources in particular. Of course, that means, not only the newspapers, but the Internet, all the tech companies.
Oh, everything.
And now,
everything.
Yeah, everything. But it's at the top. It's at the top. And it's such a small group of people, but they're so brilliant because they manipulate the information we get on our television sets. They determine what tweets we can read now on the Internet.
Oh, yeah, yes,
they
determine
who gets Facebook coverage and who gets blocked. And so that's how so few people can make it seem like everybody's gone mad, when in fact everybody is becoming subservient to that very, very small group.
And you know, and brother, I've seen this over the years, and I know you got a few years old on me. I'm 71 years old now, but I've been around long enough to see some things and understand some things. Now recall in Jeremiah, we're told in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, that we're cursed if we put our trust in man, if we make flesh our support, our arms, is what the Bible says, and our heart turns from God. It took a long time for people to get used to the idea of the government becoming their sugar daddy. You know, Social Security started in 1930s, and then it came into the food stamps, and then into the Medicare, Medicaid, HUD. All these things come in a little bit at a time. And people, a lot of people in this country, over at least, I'd say, and I'm probably low on this, but probably two-thirds of them get some kind of government check. And they depend on government to feed them. And it's hard to bite the hand that feeds you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so sinister, because they offer a little bit of benefit here and a little benefit there and a little perk here and a deduction there and an exemption here. And everybody goes for it. Oh, that's a good deal, you know. I get more out of it than I put into it. And the first thing you know, that turns into a cage, and there they are.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, that's how it works. That's how it works, yeah. But those people that have been put into the cage, you know, they're still good people. They were kind of stupid. They're politically naive.
Yeah,
I mean, we all could have been that way. I started out that way.
We all were.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I can't point fingers. I was just as ignorant. But you know, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God only, I wanted to hear the truth. The masses, although they're ignorant, still don't want to hear the truth.
Well, that remains to be seen. And one of the good things out of this rather dismal conversation is that the reality is that history is always driven by a few, not the masses. The masses always follow their leaders. It's the leaders who write history, and the leaders are always about 1% of the population. It's just a question of which 1%. Is it going to be the collectivists that are now running the show that want to put everybody into a group and treat them like they're a mass, no individuality at all? They just have to serve the society or serve the state. Those are the people that are running the show. But there are plenty of us out here who call ourselves individualists, who believe that the individual man should be, and actually in nature, is the core of society.
Of course.
But we've never got organized. We never worked like our opponents did. We were so busy enjoying our freedoms and life that we thought, oh, well, everything's fine. Meanwhile, these guys on the other side have been consolidating control. So now it comes down to the question, we don't have to convert 51% or 60 or 80 or even 90% of the population. All we have to reach is about 1% of the population. And if they'll get up off of their couches and get out into society, into these power centers we're talking about, we can turn this thing around.
Well, certainly I've been radio almost 27 years, been preaching for 40 years, pastoring and preaching, and I like to think I'm somewhat of a Bible scholar. I certainly don't consider myself a scholar much of anything. I'll say I'm a jack of all trades, put it that way. But you know, we're warned in the scriptures that when the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They've been chipping away at the foundation of this country for a long time. I mean, we have to understand the fact that they do consider us their chattel now, their cattle. That's prophesied in Nehemiah chapter 9, by the way, folks, that we'd be considered cattle. That's right, it's in the book. And they consider us that. And they made us into corporations, and you all know all about that, I'm sure, too. When they consider us no longer real people. That's where we have to assert the fact that I'm really a man. I'm a creation of God Almighty. And I don't belong to man. I belong to Him. If people could see that in itself and make a statement and mean it, we could change some things.
Well, I agree with that. That's what I was referring to a moment ago. This is really a battle between the ideology of individualism versus collectivism. Everything boils down to that. All of our opponents have, even though they may have different views and wear different uniforms and have different flags, we've got communists, socialists, Nazis, fascists, and all these other forms. But they're all, when you lift off the labels and look underneath, they're all the same. They're collectivists. They believe that the group is more important than the individual. And we, on the other side, are being picked apart by these various groups. We believe that the individual is more important, because everything is the individual. In fact, there even isn't such a thing as a group. A group doesn't even exist. It's an abstraction in the mind. You can't touch a group. You can only touch people, but you can't touch a group because it's an abstraction. It's a mathematical concept. It doesn't even exist. And so when we say that the group has more rights than the individual, it's a real stupid thing to come up with. And also it sets in place a system where demagogues can come along and say, I represent the people. We represent the people. And therefore they can get away with almost any atrocity in the name of the greater good of the greater number. That's the trick that they all use. Once we understand that trick and stop being fooled by it and realize that the individual is the basis of society, then I agree with you totally. If everybody had that idea, or even if 1 or 2 or 3% had that idea, I think we could turn this thing around.
Well, you know, you've been through several elections as I have been. I have seen in a lot of elections, I don't care which party he's in, I don't care if Democrats or Republicans, let's face it, they're the ones that have been in charge of the country for a long time. Each administration, it gets a little worse. A little less freedom, a little more money spent, a little more taxes raised. It's gotten worse and worse and more controlled by the people. Under a so-called conservative president, they brought in Patriot Act 1, 2, and 3, and it goes on from that and on and on and on. And I would think after a while, because finally I did see this, and I did understand, all I'm doing is cutting my own throat, voting for the lesser of evils. I might want to look around and find somebody that I can support that's going to do what's right. But as a people as a whole, it seems like we've played the game of conservative versus liberal, and now look what we have run for office on both sides, especially the Democratic Party. Look what we have run for office. Out and out socialist. I mean, I'm talking about no longer hinting at it. They're just doing it. Elizabeth Warren wants to get Medicare for all, no matter what the cost. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, these people will have been laughed off the streets. And nobody talks more about cutting the budget. The budget's never mentioned any longer. I mean, something is missing here. We gotten used to the rhetoric of gimme, gimme, gimme. We lost everything. Hang on to the thought. We'll get your comments after the break, G. Edward. Folks, I'll take a phone call next half hour if you want to talk to us at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. This is
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store of food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio, Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we are back. And before I forget, a lady that works with us in the office here about every week named Shannon has a brother that lives in Wyoming. His name is Pat, and he was hurt in a mining accident day. He ran an above-ground mine. He ran an auger. He got caught in the auger, and it messed him up pretty bad. He's in the hospital, and I told Shannon, I would mention for you prayer warriors and ones that listen to the program for years, those brand-new listeners that will be on the stations, that's brand-new stations starting tonight and tomorrow. Keep Pat in your prayers, please. Shannon is a good lady. I don't know that I know her brother, but he's in Wyoming. He has a large family he's take care of. He's going to be on commission for a while. So please keep Pat in your prayers for a speedy healing and get back to his feet as soon as possible. Please don't forget that, okay? Again, we're talking to G. Edward Griffith. Griffin, a man that I haven't talked to for a long time, but it's just my fault because I've always admired his works and writing. I read something the other day or heard him the other day on the radio, and I thought, I got to get him on again because this man is a walking source of common sense, knowledge too, but common sense. That's a lacking product today in America. Good old common sense. But we're talking before the break about making comments on some things, G. Edward Griffin. And do you have anything that you'd like to add to what I said or any comments?
Well, you know, during the break, we were talking about, what we lack are good people. We certainly lack them in office. And then we were talking about Thomas Jefferson off the air, and it made me think about, I think I'd like to discuss it now. I remember there's a very famous letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote shortly after the Constitution was drafted and ratified. And he wrote it to a doctor friend of his in response to the doctor's letter. We know about this exchange of letters because it's in the Jefferson library. It's in one of the bound volumes, and there are copies of it in many libraries around the world now. So it's readily available to read. I think it's even in Jefferson's handwriting. Anyway, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that this doctor friend wrote to Jefferson, and he said, Mr. Jefferson, now that we have this new government, he called it a government, he says, how can we be sure that only good men will be elected to office? It's kind of what we were talking about, right? How come all these bad people got elected to office? So this guy had it turned the other way around. How can we be sure that only good men will be elected to office? And Jefferson's reply was, I thought, classic. It was just on the edge of being a little irate. He said, let us speak not of good men. Let us rather bind men down with the chains of the Constitution. And there it was. He was saying, are you kidding? Good men running for office? Don't kid yourself. That'll never happen. He said, if you build a system on the assumption that only good men are going to be elected to office, you lose. You're going to
every
lose
time.
Your system every time. He was saying, and his life proved, he said, you've got to build a system that assumes that only scoundrels will be in office. And if you can build a system that works under those conditions, now you win. And this is what people don't understand. They keep thinking, oh, I'm going to vote for a good man. I like this guy better than the other one. That other one is a bad man. Now, all I need to do is find a good man, and we can let him do everything he wants to do. And, of course, that's where the mistake is. It's not a question of good versus bad. It's the system itself. Why
yes.
don't we realize that we've got to go back and put the teeth back into the Constitution, which Jefferson was talking about, that would bind these men down from doing mischief? That's what we need to talk about.
Well, you know, he obviously knew what was going to happen, and he also made a statement, and this is a paraphrase, obviously, that people that want to be ignorant and free, it can never happen. Because without knowledge of what's going on, it ain't a knowledge of the system, as you mentioned, the Constitution, without knowledge of what we had, we lose it all anyway. You cannot be free and be ignorant. You have to know you have to know the Constitution as well or better than those running for office. And it always it appalls me because I did the same thing. I went into the military. I'm a Vietnam era vet. As a matter of fact, Agent Orange killed my pancreas. That's why I'm a diabetic now. But anyway, I held my right hand and took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Do you know, brother? It never dawned on me what a hypocrite I was. I had never even read the Constitution. It wasn't taught me in school. Okay. And the politicians and the officers and courts and the policemen do the same thing, and they never even read it. And we're so far away from today that if they struggle about the Constitution, all these benefits would fall off because they're not constitutional.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I would like to take that one step further. I would like to, how do I phrase this? A few years ago, I formed an organization called Freedom Force International. And the reason I did that is because I wanted to have an organization that focused on the principles that are found in the Constitution. My assumption was that what if the Constitution had never been written? Does that mean we lose? No, it means that we better write one. And it means that we can't go to some pre-existing document and say, well, there it is. We have to have the ideas in our own mind. We have to be able to create a new one. Or even a better one, possibly, with more teeth in it. Because this last one, as great as it was, didn't have enough teeth. Or whatever it lacked, it's gone now, or practically gone, because people don't read it. Maybe that was a problem in the Constitution. How can we get people to read it? I remember when I was first studying the Constitution in seriousness. That was, as you say, after I was a grown man and realized that, hey, we're talking about the Constitution. I better study it. And then I got to looking at it and said, you know, if I were doing this thing, I think I would write it in two columns. On the right side of the page, I would write the Constitution as it now stands, which is all the, you know, the if this, then that, and then there takes a quorum for this, and this is the division, and the division of various branches of government, and how many votes it takes, and all this stuff, the technical stuff. But on the left-hand side, I would put notations or annotations as to why we wrote this. Because you can read the Constitution, and you're looking at all the technical things, and you have no idea what was going on in the debates at the Constitutional Convention that led up to those clauses. Unless you read the Federalist Papers or the private papers of these people and see the notes of the debates
That's true.
The ideology was that goes into the Constitution. So just reading the Constitution doesn't do it. You've got to understand the motives and what they were trying to accomplish. And that's why I formed Freedom Force, because we wanted to talk about those things. What if the Constitution had never been written? These principles still stand out.
Well, they always have, because they're more or less eternal, you know. And most of the founders realized that the Constitution had to be based upon a foundation of a moral people. Liberty is something only given to people that are moral, that will govern themselves. Because if you do not govern yourself, you govern by somebody else. And they understood that morality was the foundation for this thing to work. As a matter of fact, I think Ben Franklin once said that this Constitution is not written for anything, or not one, John Adams thing, that the Constitution is only adequate for those who are, we'll say, moral and religious people. They cannot govern anything else because it's not written for that. It was written for people that will uphold it and do what's right because it's the right thing to do.
That's not what Thomas Jefferson was saying. We better write a constitution for people who are not moral. That's why we need a constitution.
Well, that's for the politicians. But what I'm saying is, though, that the leaders said that unless the people themselves are moral, the constitution won't mean anything.
Well, that's right, because they won't. They'll just look at the constitution as a barrier to corruption. They'll say, "Gee, I want to steal from my neighbor, and
sure,
I want to do it legally.
There
so I need to pass a law so I can steal from my neighbor in the name of the common good, but it's really still theft." So, yeah, moral people wouldn't allow that to happen. Quite right.
Moral people would not take the liberties that we have, and they're God, and I say they're more than that. They're not just rights from God, they're duties from God to do what's right, period. But a moral people wouldn't take the First Amendment to promote pornography. That's not that destroys society. It doesn't build society. That is not a so-called liberty, because what to do evil is not a right. And that's the part we're seeing in this nation today. We destroyed ourselves with the liberties that we once had. We've taken it to the extreme in the wrong direction. But I do want to go back on something again, financial, because I think it's important. Because you are certainly a whiz on this. I looked at some figures today from 1950. Now, I remember I was only 2 years old, 1950, a year, and I was born in September 48. So I don't remember all these numbers. But I can tell you that I've done some research today, G. Edward, and a new home back in 1950, average price was $8,450. Okay? The average price today for a new home is $362,700. That's average. The average income in 1950 was $3,216 a year. So you could pay that new home off if you could put it all towards that new home in about 2.5 years. Today, the average income is $60,800. Now, the price of the home went up 4,300%. Earnings went up 1,900%. Quite a gap there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, quite a gap. There are a lot of angles to that. But I didn't mean to interrupt. So what's your conclusion?
Please do. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking that there's all kinds of things like productivity and efficiency and all that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, if you take a house that today and you say an average house, not anything with a lot of fancy carving in it and special stonework and all that stuff, but just a family, a normal middle-class house, and say two bedrooms, you know, small, and you get the price, the selling price, average price, and you find out how many half-pound hamburgers you could buy today. Okay, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
People have done this. And then you go back, you wind the clock back to 1930 or whatever it is, and take the price of the house and find out how many half-pound hamburgers could you buy. It's almost the same, exact same number.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, because once you get all these complicated elements out of it, but what about technology and all of that? Get something that just requires basic human effort to produce and doesn't require a lot of machinery. We got to have a cow, you know. We got to have some grass to feed the cow. Got to have a slaughterhouse. You got to have somebody grow the wheat for the bun and the bread. You got to deliver all this stuff. There's not a lot of technology involved in a hamburger. Well, this is some. it's not like a computer, you know, or an automobile.
That's right, exactly.
I agree. Or something like that. And so you get something that's related to human effort and time, and it's amazing how the house and the hamburgers are still in about the same proportion as they always have been. And that's one of the value. That's one of the values, by the way, of having a monetary system backed by gold or
absolutely.
Silver.
Absolutely, if we had that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because both of those things take human effort to produce, just like the hamburger.
Well, you know, and it caused this, as you said in your book, The Creature of Jekyll Island, fiat currency has caused the inflation, or whatever you want to call it today, to such numbers. We haven't had any real money in this country for a long time.
Well, that's right. Inflation is merely the loss of the purchasing power of the dollar. That's all it is.
Yes,
it's not
it
that prices go up. Prices don't really go up.
Nope.
It's that the value of the dollar goes down. And if you measure the price in terms of something other than a dollar, like the price of a house in terms of hamburgers, the price didn't go up. It's only when you measure the price in terms of producing too much of it, you know, they just flood it. If a dollar is scarce, it's worth a lot. But if you can go out in the streets and just reach down and pick up 100 of them any place, it's worthless. So
yes.
The quantity of money determines, I should say, its value. So when these guys in the Federal Reserve System and you know, all the banking system there goes into overdrive and starts producing money by the billions and trillions and dropping it from helicopters, figuratively speaking, and everybody's got, pay raises and the higher prices there, now look at all the money I made and everything. But they're flooding the world with money. It doesn't buy so much anymore.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Well,
but
a loaf of bread in 1950 is 17 cents. Today it's $2.19 average. That's up 1,300%.
Yeah. And the money is down 1,300%.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. And gold was gold in 1950 was 34.72 an ounce. Today it's around 1,500. That's a 4,300% increase also. And I did notice a correlation here, too, between the house and a home is real property. It's tangible. It's a house and land is real property. Now, it can drop in a heartbeat also. But if you looked at going up 4,300% since 1950, gold's been up 4,300% since 1950. Because it's also a real tangible product, is it not?
Yeah, it takes human effort to produce both
there
of those.
There you go.
So that's why the money system should always be based on something that requires human effort to produce. That's the only way. And it doesn't have to be gold or silver, but it could be anything. But historically, people have always chosen gold and silver if the government gets out of the way and lets them do what they want to do. Because the gold and silver has a lot of other features going for it. You know, it doesn't rot. It'll last forever. It doesn't rust.
And it maintains its value. It maintains its value.
Well, the reason it maintains its value is because it takes human effort to produce
it. There you go. That's the point.
So that the quantity that is produced depends on how much human effort people want to put into it.
They want to put
more into it if it's scarce, because if it's scarce, it buys more. And so, oh man, I can get all this. I can get so many things with this ounce of gold. I'm going to go into gold mining or something like that. But then if they overproduce gold, oh, and too much gold, oh, it doesn't buy so much. I'm going to go back into making men's suits. You know, it's human nature. They go where the effort is rewarded. And you don't need any government agency or a bunch of bankers sitting around determining what they think the money
Amen.
Supply should be. Yeah,
Amen.
It just happens naturally.
Now, folks, if you want to call, I said the line's open, 844-769-2944. G. Edward Griffin tonight, a wonderful guest. I'll have to have one again sometime because I'll never get everything covered tonight. 844-769-2944. Now, we're just discussing some finances. And, folks, we've had a fiat currency in this country since 1964. Up until 1964, it's backed by silver at least. And I'm old enough to remember that one silver dollar would buy 12 hot dogs. I remember that. You will not buy 12 hot dogs with one paper dollar a day by no means. So, again, it's not that hot dogs went up in price. It's that dollars dropped in value because it's not backed by anything that's worth anything. Nothing produced to make it worth anything. You know, G. Edward, I've thought about this in the past. When we go into a store and we buy, let's say, a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, we take something that was produced, took labor and time and management to make those goods, and I give them a $10 piece of paper. It says $10 on it. It's not real money, and I know it's not, but they take it because they think it's good. They pass on to somebody else because they think it's good. If people are figuring out that's all fiat and not worth anything, the economy would collapse, wouldn't it?
Well, not necessarily, as long as they're still willing to take it. I mean,
that's what I mean. Once they've figured out, though, that's not even good. When you figure out, if somebody can make them understand, they're passing paper around, which is back for nothing, they would maybe start to stop and think, hey, this is not real money.
Well, here's how that normally happens. It doesn't happen all at once. In other words, you're suggesting that, oh my gosh, this is fiat money, I won't take it. What actually happens is they don't even know what the word fiat means.
That's true.
And they wouldn't care. You know, as long as everybody accepts it, oh well, let's use it. It's like credit card. What's that credit piece of plastic worth? Nothing. But it works. You put it in a machine and you can buy things with it. That's all they care about. But the point is that if somebody said, well, plastic, it's just plastic, that doesn't make any dent on anybody. I can still use it. And they say, well, it's just paper, nothing behind it. That doesn't make any difference as long as they can use it. What happens is they use it, and as time goes by, it buys less and less and less and less until finally they want more of it for the same thing, and its value diminishes. Now it's not as valued, and that people want more of it for the same candy bar or the hamburger house until finally it just disappears. Its value is so small, it's like the Weimar Republic in Germany, 100 years ago,
yes.
that the the money was devalued so much that it took a wheelbarrow full of paper currency to go to the grocery store and shop for a couple of days. And finally, when the money collapsed, people had cashed in their life insurance policies. You know, they thought they were going to retire on this retirement policy that they had to benefit the cash value in their life insurance. Oh my gosh, I've got $100,000 or marks, Deutschmarks. And it was just enough to buy a postage stamp.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's true. And they were using the money to burn, to heat the houses, because it was more valuable as kindling wood than it was in the grocery stores or any place else. That's what happens to money. So it's not that they stopped using it. It's just that it became worthless. And then they stopped using it.
Look at the modern day Venezuela. What's happened down there? Their money system just fell to pieces. And I do know for a fact that anybody that had silver down there, and this is truth, could take one silver dollar and buy $250 of Venezuela's money's worth in food. That's what they make. They literally do that because that's paper in the morning.
But by evening, in the morning they can do that. But by evening they can buy $320
worth. There you go. That's the point.
Yeah, and the next morning it'll be $400 worth.
This is happening to America, G. Edward, and this bothers me because I have 6 grandchildren growing up in this country. This system can't go on forever. This is a bubble. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And like I said, now it's to the point that the politicians don't even talk about the budget any longer. Then nobody pays attention to it really. You know,
President Trump
has spent more money than anybody else in office. But I can't blame him. Every president in history done the same thing over and over again.
Well, that's right. And the Congress doesn't care what anything costs.
No, they don't.
That thing called the Federal Reserve System really is a machine for creating money out of, well, they say out of nothing. It's not quite true. They create it out of debt. It's an interesting fact that money doesn't come into existence in the world today unless somebody borrows it. It's borrowed into existence.
That's true.
So you see, it's really worse than out of nothing. Money is created out of debt. And so every dollar that's in circulation represents debt. That means that someone is paying interest on that dollar to a bank somewhere. And so think about that. You see why the banks love this system. The more money that's out there in circulation, that means there's more of the total world economy being siphoned off as interest into the banking system.
And if the banks say they get in a hard spot, which you really don't, but they say you do, guess who bails them out?
Well, of course, that's because they bought the politicians that passed the laws.
There you go.
And, you know, this gets to be pretty morbid sounding, and maybe we should think of a positive way to focus on it, but it's hard to realize that there's not much positive about basically a Ponzi scheme or a legalized plunder program. There's not much to say positive about it.
There isn't. I mean, the Word of God says it's an abomination to have an unjust weight and measure. Well, we've had that in this country for at least 50 years. And I don't see it getting any better. I'm not trying to discourage people. I'm just trying to tell them the truth. But you need to prepare for the future, folks. That's why I keep telling you that the latest sponsor of this broadcast on shortwave is Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver. And I know from personal experience, it has saved me financially more than once by listening to her and some other people. Call her at 800-375-4188 and tell her I sent you over. 800-375-4188 and ask her, pick her mind, pick her brain. She's pretty sharp, and she's been doing this for 20-some years. She's not a rookie. Ask her some questions. We're down to about the last 3 minutes here, and the phone hasn't rang. I know what that means. When nobody's calling, sir, that means that they're just listening. They don't want to interrupt. So, G. Edward, don't feel discouraged. Nobody's calling. They don't want to bother, so enjoy the broadcast.
Well, I hadn't even thought about that. Maybe they figured that this guy talking here is crazy out of his mind. What's the point of asking questions? But I know it sounds so bizarre because you don't hear anything like this in the mainstream media. How did the dollar do today compared to the Deutschmark or the yen? Oh, the dollar is up today. Yeah. And everybody thinks, oh my gosh, the dollar is sounder than I thought. And they don't understand anything about what that means. When the dollar is up, how do I say this? All fiat currencies of the world, all of them today, are losing value every day. They lose purchasing power every day. All of them. So how can they say the dollar is up? It merely means that the other currencies are falling faster that day than the dollar. That's what it means.
Oh, I know it is. I'm laughing. It's not funny. But the trickery, you have given an A-plus for trickery. They're smoother than silk. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah, and so the dollar is falling less fast than the others, and so the dollar is up.
Well, you know, I have people tell me, well, people told me that the economy is going to crash 20 years ago, and I said, listen, please understand, the economy is crashing every day. No, it doesn't just drop overnight, and listen, until it reaches a certain point, then probably we will, but the dollar is collapsing more every day. So the economy is collapsing. It's in the process of going to nothing. And we got to quit thinking, well, the economy's going to just go to nothing last week. No, that isn't what I'm saying. It's going down every day. It's called inflation, worthless my monetary system, and it's eating people alive. And I know, personally speaking, G. Edward, that I don't owe anybody anything by the grace of God, but just keeping up with my necessities, you know, power bills and phone bills and insurances and medical bills, all that, it takes about all I make to do that now.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. At the end of this cycle, if you just follow it all the way to the bloody end, nobody has anything. They're all the government has it all, and the government takes care of you if you're a good boy or girl and do exactly what they tell you to do. Then you'll have clothing and food and shelter and health care, education for your kids, or not education, more indoctrination, but they'll call it education.
Training.
And you know, you'll have furniture and fuel in the winter time if you do everything right. Now, if you don't do everything right, like they're doing in China now, they have the social credit program, well, then you won't be able to travel, and then you won't be able to get as many food stamps or whatever it is, and they'll just squeeze you out of existence. So that's where it's all headed, and people will be totally subservient to the government because that's the only way they'll be able to survive.
That's very true. And more about our time. G. Edward Griffith, thank you, Griffin. I thank you so much. How can people contact you if they want to email you or whatever, or get a hold of you?
Well, I a couple of websites. I'd like to encourage everybody, first of all, to come and take a look at what we call a Red Pill Project. We're putting on a series of Red Pill Expos. And as you know, the title of my book is The Creature from Jekyll Island,
right.
A Second Look at the Federal Reserve. Well, our next expo is going to be held on Jekyll Island, which is off the coast of Georgia. That's where the Federal Reserve System was created. So we're going back to sort of revisit the scene
of
the crime,
you might
say. Got
1 minute. Got 1 minute. Please go ahead.
So anyway, go look us up, redpillexpo.org, and read all about the Red Pill Expo at Jekyll Island.
Thank you, brother. I'll be in touch again in the near future, okay?
All right. Thank you.
God bless you, my friend. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night with Glenn Harnum. A lot to talk about. Y'all like Glenn, know who he is. So we'll see you tomorrow night. Y'all have a wonderful night. And listen to the truth and make a change. God bless. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.